All right. Welcome to Advent. I feel like there should be fireworks or something, but instead we have to do the hard work of coming to terms with the fact that our Advent calendars don't actually start until Wednesday. What's up with that? If you're going to give us something to help us wait for Christmas, don't make us wait an extra 3 whole days to dig into the chocolate. Seriously, though, the lead up to Christmas is a unique season. It's a season of anticipation. I love seeing the Christmas lights popping up in the neighborhood. Last night, we went and sat around a fire outside with my brother, and there's something really Adventy about that as well. Fire in the cold and the dark that connects people. We're getting through this together, and the Advent wreath is kind of like that as well. Little flames that grow until, at the darkest time of the year, the Christ candle points the way to our redemption. We turned on our outside Christmas lights early this year, partly because we never took them down, but also as a sign of hope. But that's the only way, not the only way that we know Christmas is coming. So here's how we know the lead up of to Christmas is upon us at our house. We bring in the paper in the morning, and here is the news. And here are the advertisements. All of it's designed to get in your face and stir you up to act. Advent is a whiplash season. We try to say that it's about peace and joy, but it's also about urgency. Buy this, prepare that, donate here, decorate this, bake, party, and collapse. Get this discount before it's gone. Make sure the star toy is under the tree. Stock your shelves. Stirs up this anxious anxiety, anxious urgency. If you don't attend to this thing or possess this object, you will not be enough and everyone will know. Waiting isn't easy. Just ask a kid on December 23rd when it's still more than one sleep away from Christmas, and they're vibrating with excitement. But no matter what they do, time just keeps plodding along at the same speed. Or the loved one at the airport arrivals, or the person waiting for a biopsy result. Waiting is uncomfortable, and yet it's part of our human inheritance. We're people of the long wait. Just think of how many Bible promises weren't fulfilled for a really long time. God promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son. They just had to hold on to that promise for 25 years before they saw it fulfilled. And God's people did eventually get out of slavery in Egypt. It only took 400 years for that moment to arrive. That's an excessively long time to wait. But wait they did, and generations lived and died without seeing God's promise come true. It's like us trying to hold on to a promise that Shakespeare gave us. And so we have a whole Advent season each year for waiting. And maybe that's why Advent softens everything. The gold of Christ the King last week turns into the blue and purple, and the sunlight fades and the candles come out. It's quieter and longer, but it's not inactive. Advent waiting vibrates with this sense of holy urgency. It's hard to ignore. Advent is about waiting and praying and watching. Yes, but it isn't passive. The command of Advent is to be alert and get ready. Hurry up and wait. Advent says that the highest call on our lives in this season is not to get stuff done, but to attend to this work of holy waiting. It's waiting with a purpose. The holy urgency of Advent prepares our hearts for Jesus. If our lives were an arrow, Advent re-aims it in the right direction. Robert Barron, a Catholic bishop in Los Angeles, puts it this way: we have to learn how to put ourselves on God's timetable, in God's frame of reference, not our own. Very often, we're not ready for what God wants to accomplish in us. God has promised something for us, but we're not ready for it. We have to go through a long period of training in the divine school, like any kid learning how to play an instrument or a kid learning to play a sport. You have to go through the long period of training and discipline before you're ready. St. Augustine talks about prayer, that God sometimes delays in answering prayer. Why? Because he waits for the heart of the prayer to expand so as to receive what God wants to give. As we wait, the heart, as it were, dilates. It gets bigger, more receptive, so that when God is ready to give us on his own timetable what he wants, then we're finally ready for it. Advent is a time for us to expand. The waiting creates this space that our hearts grow to fill. And in that expansion, we grow in faith and generosity and love. Holy waiting is very different from doing nothing. And there are some important ways that we can embrace this season of waiting. Jeremiah spoke to us this morning from a time when God's people had been overrun by their enemies and taken off to exile in Babylon. It will be at least 50 years before they're allowed to return home. Everything should be telling them that God has abandoned them. And yet Jeremiah speaks with real conviction that the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. That hasn't happened yet when Jeremiah says it, not even close. But it gives us the first task of Advent holy waiting, and that is to remember what God has promised. Conventional wisdom says you can get through a time of waiting by occupying your time with something. Advent invites us to make that something reliving the promises of God. That things may be hard, but God has already told us that God is on the way and that we are moving towards the fulfillment of our hope. The first task of Advent holy waiting is to place ourselves within that great story of God's healing work. The second task of Advent holy waiting comes to us today from 1 Thessalonians. Paul writes, "Day and night we pray most earnestly, may the Lord make you increase in love for one another and for all, and may he strengthen our hearts in holiness, that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus with all his saints." The second way to inhabit this time of waiting is with prayer. Times of waiting are invitations to pray fervently and earnestly for the world that needs healing, for one another, and that we will grow in love and holiness. This is the reason that we're joining with other churches in our deanery this year to gather and pray each evening in Advent. It's the opportunity to mark this season and to answer the invitation to ramp up our prayer in the time of holy waiting. So hold on to what God has promised. Pray fervently. And the third task of holy waiting comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. He says, "Be on guard and be alert at all times." This is a fitting response to the news that God is coming. If you believe it, you will watch expectantly for it. So consider it this way. If you trust that Santa is going to show up on Christmas morning, you will lay out your stocking and wait with eager anticipation for what will appear inside on Christmas morning. If you didn't think anything would happen, there's no reason to set out the milk and cookies. If you didn't trust Santa to show up, you would never allow yourself that kind of hope. How much more, then, for those who are waiting for God himself? Jesus calls us not to be like those who will faint in fear and foreboding in face of what will come upon the world. Instead, he calls us to stand up and raise our heads, looking not towards the thing that makes us afraid, but to the thing that God is already doing, towards the fulfillment of God's promise. Because God is on the move, our response is to keep awake. Because we know what God has promised, and we are fervently at prayer, and we're alert to the signs of the kingdom of God, then we'll recognize Jesus when he shows up. Yes, in the clouds with the glory of heaven, but also in the smaller flames of love that are God's healing and light in our own lives. may we answer his call together, the call of Advent, to live this season in holy hope. Amen. Amen.